Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What are you guys doing here?
What are you doing here? Wait, are you doing a podcast right now?
Welcome to the Rob and Holly Show podcast.
Hi, Hardy.
What up?
Oh, my
What's
God.
What's up, dude?
How are y'all?
Very good.
Listen, this album, I cried at one point, and it wasn't even like a dog song or like a love song. You made me cry.
What right song?
What song made you cry?
Did you not cry, Rob? You didn't cry.
I was more raging and like smashing couches and stuff.
There's
that too.
Burning couches, smashing guitars.
Well, this is going to be an obvious, but this is the female gaze for this.
Holly spent more time on the mockingbird side. I spent more time on the crow side.
Well, it's funny that you said that. That's the song that made me cry, the mockingbird and the crow. In the very beginning, the song, I was like, oh my God, like you didn't have your own voice. Like, can you explain the song? Everyone will listen to it and they'll maybe no one else will cry, but I cried for you because I was like, that maybe seemed like a frustrating moment in time, but it all worked out. Obviously you get a microphone, it was fine.
Yeah, I mean, I think more than anything, it's like you know, it kind of tells my story, but it's the song is about kind of dealing with like the songwriter in me and like I mean, to be honest, like writing songs for the radio and like this, you know, I don't want to say safe, but like being in the format, being in the flowing river that everybody's in, and writing songs, singing songs that sound like other songs you've heard. That's what a mockingbird does. Mm-hmm. And the struggle I have with that, and then the crow side, which is wanting to cross over maybe into rock and roll, or at least redefining my version of country music and making that a lot heavier than anything that's ever been done before, and sort of flying my own path, and the duality of that, but the struggle that I have within my own brain of which one should I do, and that sort of thing. And it really just tries to paint that picture of who I want to be as an artist and as a person some too.
It's almost like an artist curse, kind of, you know, you know what I mean? Like where you have this like true self, and that the true self is what people love, but also you have to like do this.
Yeah, totally.
No, which does not translate to radio, but yeah, you get it.
Yeah, but, and I'm just very thankful for my label that have, like, they've never held me back, not one time. And I would never mention any names or anything, but I see people and artists and friends that I know are creative people that can get held back by people, and that sucks. And I'm just very thankful that my label has always just let myself and other artists with Big Loud just be as creative as they can possibly be. And then the label figuring out how to exploit that, you know, and that's really important. And I'm very thankful for that.
And you do seem to let it all hang out, which we love. We love that.
Yeah.
Come on.
We're the hugest fans. Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way,
With the Mockingbird and the Crow, that song specifically, but then trying to fit this mold or that mold, but then the way, like, radio song to me is epic, dude, because it's crazy to me how it works, because you got the country song that you've heard right a bunch of times, and then it goes back into the heavy stuff, and it somehow like goes together perfectly. You're a musical genius.
I'm curious, because I haven't talked to a lot of people in radio about that song yet. And I was curious, because, you know, I want people to have a sense of humor about that song. I'm not pointing fingers or yelling at anybody. It's just more of like, you always hear, well, you need a radio song. You need a radio song. And it was just kind of the joke of like, here's your radio song. Here's a perfect radio chorus. And then we just completely ruined it by screaming the F word and like going into a breakdown. And I, it's more lighthearted than it even sounds. It's just kind of a sense of humor kind of song.
I mean, I think if you're for me, for us, we're fans of music first, and it's not about like fitting a mold or doing what you're supposed to do. When I hear stuff like that, I'm just like, when it went into the part where you go, I was just like, yeah, dude, let's go.
That's
so fun.
Awesome, man.
Yeah.
I texted Rob. I was like, if we're going to say it, can we, I said, you're effing genius. I was like, he's effing genius. He's an effing lyrical genius. Let's just, if you needed any accolades today and you needed any pats on the back, we're going to give them to you during this time, because I was literally like, what is Hardy's IQ? What is your IQ? What did you do on the ACT? I'm serious. This is a serious question.
I don't know my IQ.
Not well. I think I made a 23, 24.
23 is pretty good.
That's above average. I will say this though. I was a really bad test taker, and I never tried in school. I passed. I mean, I have a college degree. I don't know how, but I do. But I passed with C's and D's, get degrees. That was my thing. I was a bad test taker. But I never tried. So I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but
you're very, very, very smart. These lyrics are all smart. This whole album is very smart. It's a very all everything. I was writing down lyrics. I was like, every buck could be your last one in the kill then I die. I was like,
yeah.
I was like, hey,
that's awesome.
It's so good. Every single one. But can we talk about, we're going to talk about, we'll go back to the album in a second, but I did read that we haven't seen you since then, that you said the absolute best day of your life is when you got married.
Day I got married.
Yes. Can you tell us about that? Because we didn't get a chance to talk to you. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. Man, it was perfect and incredible, and she looked incredible. It was one of those moments. I think I've had maybe two or three of those ever in my life where I like could have been stuck in a moment for the rest of my life and been completely and totally fine with that. And that entire day from our first look on was like just a moment where I could have been stuck in for the rest of my life. Truly. It was amazing.
That is the sweetest. Is she the inspiration for There's No I in Country?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
Again,
it's the only love song on the record.
Do you think there's going to be more love songs going in the future now?
Yeah, I think I want to officially write Callie a song one day. And I don't know. It would have to be really, really good. But yeah, there's always going to be some. It's just going to have, for the most part, it's always going to have like some sort of good old boy, a redneck twist to it, or it wouldn't be me. So it's going to always have something like that in it.
Do you think that you're going to be most critical of yourself in writing that song for her than any other songs that you write?
Yeah, I mean, the pressure's on, dude. It's specifically about somebody real, and it'll last forever, so it's got to be right.
Yeah.
Can you do that intentionally, or do you think is something that will come out just unintentionally when you write a song specifically for her?
I would want to go into it with intention writing her song. I don't think I would just write a great love song and then be like, this one will work. You know, I would want to go into it. And I think I probably want to write it by myself.
Okay. Oh, just only by nobody else. Two cents and in.
Right.
Fun for you to write by yourself, or do you like to write with other people? Maybe?
I used to write by myself before I had a publishing deal, but there's a song on the record, Happy. I wrote that song by myself, and that was the first song I had written by myself in like 10 years. But I love it. It's fun.
I like that one too. I actually, I wrote that one down too. I wrote a whole bunch of notes.
What else you got on that list?
The truck bed song. I like that song. That's fun. It's a fun song. I was like, this is a radio fun song. I like this one.
Wait till you see it live. It goes nuts live, like absolutely nuts.
Right. I kind of want to know how you built your band and everything. How did that all come about from when you first started on the scene to now, because of how, I mean, I just hear the heaviness of it, the double bass, like it's metal guitars. Did you like hand pick people and producers and things like that? How'd this work?
Man, I have used the same band For everything. Same guys. For you mean for cutting the record?
Well, not for necessarily. Both? Not necessarily the studio, but just like, you know, yeah, your band that you play with out on the road and whatnot.
Well, I'm just thankful that my band that I play with out on the road all come from they're all very metal savvy, so they know how to play that stuff. That they it's not forced, you know, they all kind of played in metal bands or at least like heavy rock bands, and so they know the chops.
Yeah.
And when it comes to the studio guys who were the ones that played on the record, they all had that skill set in them. They just had to be turned loose. You know what I mean? And they don't get to do that every day. So for them, it was like fun to be able to like play, you know, a lot of double kick and play breakdowns and like actual guitar riffs and guitar parts. Like you just had to turn them loose. The skill set was there.
Do you ever write your music starting with the music, like a guitar riff, and just like play a riff and go, dude, this is the riff. Like, we got to start here.
Yeah. Jack, I wrote the riff for Jack, and then the guitar intro and a lot of the parts for I Ain't in the Country Anymore was written by David Garcia, and David Garcia wrote the riff for Kill Till I Die. But yeah, there and the breakdown for Radio Song was written by a guy named Cody, who's in a big rock band called Wage War. So yeah, on the rock side especially, there were a lot of riffs that were written before the lyrics, which I thought was really cool. It's something I really hadn't done a lot yet in my writing.
I dig that, because I feel like, you know, a lot of the stuff that we grew up listening to, you know, if it's that classic rock type of stuff or you know, even alternative rock from like, you know, early 2000s,
right.
I feel like it starts more with the guitars and the music and then lyrics.
Yeah, that especially. And, you know, Joey Moy, my producer, he produced Nickelback back in the day, and Blackstone Cherry, a band called Default, which is Dallas Wilson's old rock band. Not Dallas Wilson. Sorry. He's a songwriter. Dallas.
Forget his last name.
Oh, my God.
What,
oh, my God. Somebody's going to kill me. Oh, my God. What is his last name?
Hardy.
Smith, the most Dallas common Smith. Last name yes. of all time.
I was like, I worked in alternative radio for 11 years and I forgot. I have forgotten.
Dallas it's, Smith.
Yes. Yeah.
And Joey said that they would work on guitar parts more than lyrics. Like they, and so it was cool to kind of get to watch Joey get back to that, because he hadn't really had an opportunity to do that in country until this record.
That's fun. Awesome.
So when I was talking about lyrically what you do, I was like, well, a couple of things. First, I was like, this is so interesting, because you take something and then you flip it all around, Hardy. You flip it. And then the next thing you know, it's a new perspective that no one's ever heard of. Like, when you are songwriting, I'm like, how does he do it? When you're songwriting, is it just something that pops in there, or you're like, you know, like, I don't know. I want to know your genius. I want to know how it works.
I don't know.
It's ticking in your brain. We have to know.
Like, it's kind of like, and I swear I'm not like this in real life, but it's like being a master manipulator and making someone think something. It's like you remember the old M. Night Shyamalan movies, like The Village?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like a song version of that, where you create a whole picture, and not every song is like this, but like, and then at the very end, you reveal like a twist, and the whole time it was from this perspective, and you thought it was from this perspective. And I've always just been a fan of like leading people on and then like hitting them with something completely different. And then it just pulls emotions out of you when you feel like you were misled, but in a positive way, like with music. I just, there's something special about that. And I just always try to do that. Like the Drink One for me is a good example. Mm-hmm. Hunter Phelps, that was his title. And he came in and he was like, I have two ways to write this. The first way is, I just got this new girl and we're in love and I'm not even worried about going out with the boys. I want to stay on the couch and just hang out with this girl. So y'all, when you go to the bar tonight, drink one for me. And he was like, but we could write it like a dude is dead and in heaven. And he said, and I was like, that is the way, because people, you know what I mean? Like people are not going to think that that's coming. And that's, you know, we wait till the end to say there's no beers in heaven. So you don't even know the guy's dead till the very end of the chorus. Like that stuff to me gets so much more emotion out of people than just the first way to write that kind of song.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think those type of twists in a lot of your songwriting, it kind of, and it hits you too. It's like impactful.
Yeah.
I mean, when, mm-hmm. when, and it was great to see you and Lainey perform Wait in the Truck at the award show. It was like everyone, I mean, we know you and we know your talent and we know that you're a beast on stage. And it was cool that everyone got to see that mm-hmm. night, man. It was awesome.
That was so fun. And you know, what's funny is she and I both were like a nervous wreck during rehearsals. and trying to make light of the situation and joke and stuff, but we were both nervous. And there was like, you know, it was all choreographed, right? Like, you're going to, the second you say this word, you're going to walk here, and then you're going to ease over here, but not too far. And then when you get to here, and then you come in. And so the nerves were high. And like, I'm telling you, seconds before that curtain came up and we started, I just had this like sense of calm come over me. And you don't always have this moment, but I had a moment of like, this is so cool that you're getting to do this, and that you're getting to share a song like this for everybody watching. And I just had that a moment of like being in the moment and how special that was. And my nerves just went away, and she said the same, and it just, we just had fun with it. And that was so special, man. That was such a cool moment.
You could tell.
It's a very, very special song. 'Cause it's true to me, like true country song, because it's a whole story. And it's, I think sometimes we miss those stories that are in country songs. So thank you for writing. We're writing that and doing that. Speaking of live performances, when I listen to this album, I'm like, oh, this is changing how we experience country music shows, right? Like,
yeah,
a little bit. How is it for you on stage, like when the audience is giving it back to you tenfold?
Well, you know, we play 9 shows in December. Mm-hmm. But all we had out then was, I mean, I say all, it was like sold out, Jack, Truck Bed, Here Lies Country Music, Wait in the Truck, I think. And so we haven't played all the new stuff yet. And, you know, our tour starts in February. So I want to give people time to learn it, you know, before we just jump right into it. But I think the energy is going to be so high with these new songs. And I think it's just going to bring a whole new element to our live show. And then to still throw in songs like Boots and Unapologetically and Rednecker and some of the old songs that still have that high energy, it's going to make for a really, really great live show for sure.
I was sad one day and Rob played Sold Out for me over like Zoom or something. And I was like loving my, I was like, this is the best song ever. I love my life now. It's so
That's
good.
Amazing.
Yeah.
We, well, I always say, you know, country is our life, but rock is our soul.
Yeah. that's a good way to put it. I mean, I tell everybody, I've probably told you guys, but I grew up in a small town and all the stuff I talk about is authentic and it's real, but I didn't get into country until like Eric Church came along, you know, and now going back, I love 90s country and all that, but I kind of had to be introduced to that at a later age. But growing up, I mean, rock and roll, I was obsessed with it on a level of obsession that was like unhealthy for a kid, but I loved rock and roll, but I grew up country. So that is, man. Country is my life, but rock and roll is my music. And musically, that's kind of what I have to say. Whereas, you know, lyrically, country is kind of what comes out.
Yeah.
What bands did you love growing up? Like,
well, my dad got me, you know, before I could discover my own music, it was like Pearl Jam and even like, you know, Van Halen, all the classics, Zeppelin and Pink Floyd. Pink Floyd was a really big one. Stone Temple Pilots. But then once like MTV, you know, they let me start watching MTV, it was Puddle of Mud, all the new metal and all the active rock stuff, early 2000s, Crossfade, Breaking Benjamin, Three Doors Down, Mississippi Boys, shout out, all that stuff. I mean, Hinder, 3 Days Grace, all the stuff that people like to make fun of, but they all know it's like, those are smash rock songs that nobody can deny they love. Nickelback. I mean, I grew up on all that stuff. That was when I could discover my own music. That's the stuff I got into.
People like to rip on Nickelback, but they are good. And I love Limp Bizkit. Limp Bizkit used to be my favorite.
Oh, like, dude, those live shows of them when they play break stuff. Oh my God, get out of here.
Do you know that I've seen Limp Bizkit so many times? I have Fred Durst. He signed a hat for me.
Holly was at,
I was in
Woodstock
love with Limp
99.
Bizkit.
Oh, yeah. Did you see that documentary?
No, you were not.
Did you see that documentary?
I saw both of them.
Dude. Yeah.
I was there. Somebody pooped behind our tent. There was poop right behind the tent.
And that wasn't even the worst thing that happened.
Nope, wasn't. The boyfriend I had at the time, he stepped in real human poop. There's a whole bunch of poop going on.
That's incredible that you were there.
Yeah, aside from Limp Bizkit, like Fred Durst being on that board, like the piece of plywood.
Yeah.
I mean, it was definitely a little crazy, but Limp Bizkit in this album, side note. I hear a little Limp Bizkit in it.
Yeah, they're all there.
For me, it's a compliment because I love Limp Bizkit, and it gives me that same energy and vibe. Anyway,
I take it as a huge compliment. I'm a huge fan.
Okay, good. Rolls.
Well, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for hanging with us for a little bit. And we love the new album. It kicks ass.
You guys
ass.
Are awesome. It's always a pleasure every time I get to talk to y'all. So thanks for giving me some of your time.
Of course.
And tell your wife we said hi. I love her too.
I will. I definitely will.
Okay. All right, brother. Have fun. Right. Take care.
Bye, guys. Bye. Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Rob and Holly Show podcast. Follow us at Robin Holly Show and listen weeknights on Odyssey Country and the free Odyssey app. AUDACY.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.